Welcome back into this week's edition of Nosebleeds, WFUV's exclusive baseball podcast. I'm joined with Owen Kelty and Max Spitzer. I am Dan Bartels, and we're going to chop up everything going on in baseball right now. We're about approaching a third of the way through the MLB season. There's a lot going on, a lot to talk about. Max, I'm going to start with you. You're a rookie making your debut today. How excited are you?
Definitely super excited to be on the podcast today. I've been working to get here, and I'm excited to talk some baseball. You know, it's a great year so far, and stoked to talk about it.
Absolutely. And Owen, how are you, bro?
Yeah, it's always great being on Nosebleeds. Not the best when it's over Zoom, but, you know, not at school right now, so got to do it over Zoom. But always looking forward to talking some baseball. I was at the Yankee game last night. That game didn't end the best way. That was pretty tough to watch, even as a supposedly unbiased reporter watching Clay Holmes give up his first runs of the year after I made a tweet that he hadn't given up a run all year. That was pretty tough. I'll take the credit for that loss, but overall for the Yankees, it's been a good season. It's always fun to talk some baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we said, we're about a third approaching of the way through the MLB season, approaching 50 games. And there's a lot going on. You could kind of have a roadmap as to where these teams are headed. And we'll go division by division, just chopping it up, and then we'll talk about the Mets and the Yankees. And Owen, I am so sorry about your Yankees last night, but again, we will get to it. Let's start in the NL West, guys, because this NL West division is a little bit tough because you look at it and you see the Dodgers. They're clearly the best team in baseball. They are a juggernaut when it comes to the MLB. And last night, they got a win over the Diamondbacks 6-4. Freddie Freeman, his sixth career Grand Slam. Over the Diamondbacks, who are also in that division, and they went to the World Series last year. So, Owen, I'm going to start with you. Just give me the big picture of how do you see the NL West going down, and you see the Dodgers really just running away with it.
I mean, every year you go and look at the NL West, and it's like, oh, is someone going to compete with the Dodgers at the beginning of the year? And the answer is always no. It was 2 years ago, it was, oh, the Giants going to have that magical season again. And then last year, the Padres go out and they get Soto, they get Bogaerts. Oh, they're going to compete with the Dodgers for the division. And in the end, it always comes down. It's going to be the Dodgers division. Something interesting, though, this season, everyone was like, after the acquisitions of Ohtani and Yamamoto, the Dodgers were always the clear favorites to win this division. And I don't see it going any other way. The Padres are around 500 right now. Giants 2 games under. And the Diamondbacks, who started the year off pretty strong. I remember the Yankees played them earlier in the season, and they were a good, tough matchup. But things not going their way right now. I mean, still pretty early in the season. You've seen teams like the 2019 Nationals had that. What were they? They were 17-39. They end up winning the World Series. So I think the big thing in baseball, especially when you're in a division with a team as good as the Dodgers, you're just looking to get in, just get into the playoffs. I think you could say it's pretty similar for a lot of other divisions in baseball where you know you might not have a chance to win it, but try to get one of those wild card spots and just look at it as a day-to-day thing. The Padres, they go out and make that trade for Luis Arraez, so they're clearly all in on this season after two getting Dylan Cease. Them being 500, though, I would say it's pretty disappointing, but overall, I think it's going to be the Dodgers division they're going to win, but those other teams are going to have to try to push for a wild card spot. And I don't know, looking at the other teams in the NL, I don't know if they're going to be able to get one.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely one of those things you look at and you're not sure, because the Dodgers are 8 games ahead of the Padres right now. And Yu Darvish, 200th win this past week, extends his scoreless inning streak to 25, which is also crazy. And you touched on it, Dylan Cease. That's a great pickup. Max, I'm going to throw this over to you because I do like this Padres team. I like what they bring to the table. I think they got robbed in the wild card in 2022. And they didn't, well, they robbed the Mets in 2022. But I think that team has built back something special. And I think they really could make a push. How do you see it going down with the Padres specifically?
I believe the Padres truly have a chance this year of making a wild card. And I think that's probably about it. Like Owen was saying, the NL division as a whole, very strong, and this NL West is just not strong besides the Dodgers. I think it's going to be how they end this first half. If they can end this first half strong, having a little motivation to beat the Dodgers, which is their all-time rival. Like, you always talk about the Giants, you always talk about the D-backs. Like, how do they plan? D-backs are young, Giants are hurt. It's really up to the Padres to give the Dodgers a run for their money. So I think the Padres have a chance. I mean, Darvish is unbelievable. They have some great talent. Tatis is back. He's in full swing. Like it's truly their year, I think, to make a big upset. Dodgers went, got all those picks, and now it's their time.
Yeah, so as of now, they're in that third wild card spot besides the Cubs and the Braves, and we'll touch on those divisions as well. We'll still go throw it over to the NL Central because there's a lot going on here, and this is one of those divisions I look at. And to begin the year, you were not sure. No one really knew what this division was going to be. I thought the Brewers were going to be not good because, there's a lot of turnover. David Stearns leaves, Craig Counsell. But
Poor
they were able
Burns.
to bounce back. Yeah. And they were able to bounce back. They're leading the NL Central right now. They're a game and a half above the Cubs. Oh, and I'm going to throw this over to you because I like this Cubs team. I like that they're trailing. I do think the Cubs are going to win the NL Central, but the Brewers have played great, and you have to give them credit, even to begin the year with them playing the Mets, them sweeping the Mets. It was a rude awakening here in New York.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at that NL Central, it's kind of similar to the AL Central. Extremely mid, but still better than the AL Central. AL Central is just awful. But I was surprised by the Reds being 19 and 28. I thought they built a lot of momentum at the end of last year. Ellie De La Cruz is obviously a young, budding superstar, and they had a lot of young talent on that roster. Their pitching is pretty poor. I mean, Frankie Montas, I think, is their ace right now, and we see how he was his last 2 years with the Yankees. So they're definitely missing out on some pitching, but I thought they would be a lot better. I'm pretty in the same boat as you with the Brewers. They lost all those guys, their manager, their GM. You trade Corbin Burns, and
Right.
then Wade Miley, I think, was gone, and Brandon Woodruff is out for the year. So you're
Right.
down all these starters, and they're still
Hater's
playing.
gone too.
Yeah, Hader leaves, even though he hasn't been great with the Astros. But I thought too the same thing with the. I mean, the Cubs are right there. They bring back Bellinger. They have a solid rotation. But I think this division's up for grabs. The Pirates are still hanging in there. If their offense could do anything, because right now they have the pitching. Paul Skenes is kind of rejuvenating that organization. They kind of another young prospect that had O'Neill Cruz a couple years ago. So I think these Pirates could make a run at this. But this division's up for grabs. I honestly have no idea who I would say ends up winning it in the end, because Cardinals too. They have all those
Right.
high-paid players. Their rotation's really old, but at some point, you'd think with the talent the Cardinals have, they would turn it around. But what is it, 3 years now in a row? They've been really bad.
Yeah. And who was it? Goldschmidt had that, or Arenado, one of them had that really bad stretch. It was like over 31 or
That's
something, and they
Gold. Yeah,
just couldn't
Goldschmidt
put.
was, I think, 0 for, yeah.
It's not, it
Which
was crazy.
one
That's a
MVP.
Hall of
Believe
Famer
that.
right there. So it's one of those things you got to look at. Paul Skenes, you mentioned it, six scoreless innings when he faced the Cubs on May 17th. That was pretty impressive to watch. His first outing against the Cubs a week earlier on May 11th was not as good. Four innings pitched, three hits, three runs. But again, 11 strikeouts and seven strikeouts. Paul Skenes is the real deal. Like, there's a reason why he went number one overall, because usually in those positions, you look to an infielder, you look to an outfielder, a guy that you can move around. But when you're drafting a pitcher number one overall, they better be good. And
Especially
Paul
now with
Skenes
pitcher
is.
injuries too. It was
Right.
those extra years in college too. You really see that he has that maturity and he knows how to play and he knows what he can do and what he's good at. And he's clearly just been following that plan this whole time.
Yeah, certainly. And one more thing on the Brewers, Yelich stole home yesterday, which was pretty cool. You don't always see that. But yeah, Ellie De La Cruz for the Reds, certainly exciting. 30 stolen bases through 47 games. He's probably on pace for 100. Last person to do that was Vince Coleman, 1987. So Ellie De La Cruz is certainly waking up. This division is certainly waking up. It's going to be close, but again, it's certainly mid. Last thing with the NL Central, though, their Cardinals, the Cardinal City Connects. I don't know if you guys saw them.
The
Max,
Lou.
I don't know if you saw them, but I'll throw it over to you. Just your opinions. It was red. It says the Lou on it. I actually texted Lou Orlando and said, "You got to buy one of these. Like, you got to." How do you feel about that? And it's their first red jersey ever in their 142
I
year history.
mean, as a Brewers fan, not a
Yeah.
big fan of the jerseys. I mean, I think they're boring. I think they took their normal jersey and just put the Lou on it instead of the Cardinals or St. Louis. I thought it was just a boring. I mean, get the arch involved. Get something involved. They have a beautiful ballpark, a beautiful city. Like, they needed to do a little bit more with it. And I think this was probably one of the lazier. But I don't know. I just think it's boring. It looks like they're spring training jerseys. if I'm being completely honest, and that's not what you want for a City Connect.
Yeah, Mason Wynn was not approving of them either, that's for sure. He certainly had some things to say. Last thing on the NL Central, Shota Imanaga is one of the best pitchers in baseball this year. 5-0, 0.84 ERA, 7 innings pitched, 4 hits, 7 Ks in his last game against the Pirates. Owen, is Imanaga the rookie of the year? Is it going to be one of those things where if he pitches like this, it's over? Or like, what are we looking at?
I'm trying to think of who else in the NL is a rookie right now that's really putting up big numbers.
Not really many, to be
Is
honest. So
did
it's like,
LA De La Cruz play enough games last year to not be considered a rookie?
see, I'm not sure. I don't know. But again, in
Otherwise,
the AL, I look to Evan Carter and Mason Miller. They're gonna, Mason Miller is probably gonna win it, but if he continues like this, but
I mean, if also though, if you're pitching to a sub one ERA, even if he stays in the ones. He's not. He's going to be in the Cy Young conversation. I mean, that's unbelievable. So, I think yeah, I'm a clear front runner for rookie of the year. I can't really think of any other rookie that's been putting up big numbers in the NL.
yeah,
There's
I don't
really not.
know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, I don't know. I don't know. But again, we'll turn the page on that. A lot of talk here with the NL Central. A lot of good things. Imanaga is certainly a rookie of the year candidate. NL East, because this is a division which means a lot to me as a Mets fan, and I see the Phillies and how good they are. And they have the best record in the National League right now. They are killing it. So Max, I'm gonna throw it over to you. Do you see it being sustainable for the Phillies? Because the Braves are clearly, I think, the better team, but the Phillies are the better team right now. So how do you see it shaping up?
I think that the Braves truly are a more fit team. They're built for the distance. And the Phillies, I mean, you see them in the playoffs, you see them in the regular season, they're fully off momentum. They ride that roller coaster of wins, losses, they ride it. And I think once you get into the dog days of September and you get into August, it's going to be rough for them to maintain while you have such a powerful Braves team. This Braves team has proven that they can win this division. I mean, they have the best arms, they have the best players, the best outfield, best infield. They know what they're doing. Phillies, they're vibe guys. That's the way to put it. They're vibe guys. And the Braves are there to do a job.
Yeah, and also touching Owen on our thing before, Paul Skenes, we talked about him, totally forgot he's a
Oh,
rookie,
yeah.
right? So I guess he's in the conversation, and then Pete Crow Armstrong for the Cubs, he's been doing well too. So some things to look at there in terms of the rookie of the year. But again, looking at this NL East division, the thing that scares me is Chris Sale has woken up. Chris Sale has become what he is. And you look at his past five starts, 7 innings pitched in 3 out of the 5. 10 Ks, 9 Ks, 9 Ks, 9 Ks, and 6 Ks. He's absolutely balling. And you look at Marcell Ozuna, too, what he's been able to do. He leads the MLB in RBIs. He leads the National League in home runs with 14. He's rocking a 13-game hitting streak. So you got to ask the question, are the Braves certainly going to come back? I'm not so sure, but I do like them to really win the NL East this year. The Mets, we'll get to them and what that disaster has been, but let's focus more on the AL right now, and we'll flip it over to the American League West. And there was a cool moment yesterday. Joe Adell robs Yiner Diaz in Houston, and then he hits a home run. That was pretty cool to watch. But the Mariners lead this division. Oh, and the Yankees are playing the Mariners right now, and their 52 team home runs are ninth in the MLB. You've seen this Mariners team up close and personal. What do you like from them, and do you see this lead being sustainable for them in the American League West?
Their pitching staff is amazing, whether it's from their starting rotation to their bullpen. They have really good pitching. Watching them yesterday, they are not a good, like they don't have, I was looking at their stats. If you look at their RBIs, it's around 26th in the MLB. Like, so they're getting a lot of guys on base. They're not, offense is ranked ninth, but they're just not getting guys home. So their offense, they're not scoring a lot of runs. Even if you look at yesterday's game, Stroman went 7 1/3, one run, and then it came into the ninth inning where a lot of their runs came off of soft contact against Clay Holmes. I don't think a single ball was hit in over 90 miles an hour until like after the game had been blown. But they struggle to hit, and that's not going to be sustainable for the entire season. You look at a team like the Yankees last year who had really good pitching, but the offense was just atrocious. And you see that turned out for them. They were around an 80-win team. And in a division with the Rangers and the Astros, I mean, the Astros are kind of picking it up as of late. They've been 7-3 in their last 10, but the Mariners offense needs to get going. Their lineup has a lot of capable hitters in it, but Julio Rodriguez, I don't think, has an extra base hit in 7 straight games during a 7-game hitting streak. So their offense just needs to get going. They have the pitching to make a deep run, which I think they've had the last 3 years, the good pitching, but the offense kind of keeps letting them down. So, I mean, I saw the same thing last night. Just offense is just lacking.
Yeah. Their only real offense has been Dylan Moore. 8 doubles, 2 triples, 4 home runs. He's only batting .225, though. It's not pretty. It really isn't. But again, they're leading that American League West. A lot of us thought it would have been the Astros, but the Yankees kind of started them off on the wrong foot to begin the year. I still like the Texas Rangers. I can't ignore what they did last year, winning the World Series. They're only 2 games back, and they're at .500. I think
And
this is
Scherzer and
looking,
DeGrom are going to come back.
well, that's going to be something absolutely crazy to watch because I still think DeGrom is probably the best pitcher in the league when healthy. It just is, but it's tough. Max, anything from you about this AL West division?
I think honestly the Astros are starting to figure it out a little bit. Josh Hader's not stuck in like he has been. He's finally starting to close like he's getting paid to close. I think they're gonna end up being on top, and it's gonna be a battle for a wild card between Seattle and the Rangers.
Yeah, it's certainly shaping up to be that way. Let's look at the American League Central. Oh, and you put it perfectly, battle of mid, because I like the Cleveland Guardians. They're doing great. They're 14 games above .500, but the rest of this division, the Royals are good, and I'll definitely give them their flowers. They're 10 games above .500 for the first time since 2015, and that year was certainly a great one for them. So this is a tough division. It's a tough division to call right now. I do think it's one of those divisions that's too early to call right now. We really don't know. But Owen, how do you feel about this Royals team? And then Max, I'll throw it over to you talking about the Guardians, and do you think that's sustainable? But Owen, how do you like this Royals team right now? Bobby Witt and everything going on with them.
Bobby Witt is turning into one of the best shortstops in baseball, and I did not see the Royals being this good this year. At the end of last year, they were looked at as a team that it was like, all right, they have Bobby Witt, and then what else? Like, how can they build this roster and keep getting better? And then being 30-19 right now, I think you have to be ecstatic with that. The Royals haven't been good since 2015 because that they after that they won that championship, they could only sign like one guy because they were a small market team. So since then, they've been awful. And now, they have a lot of young talent coming up again. And them being the franchise that they are, they really have to capitalize off all these guys on these rookie deals. And it seems like they're doing it right now, 30-19, second at the division. And that division's going to all go all the way down to the end because those teams are going to have streaks where they're really bad and really good. Twins still not out of it. So that division's always going to be up in the air until the end.
Yeah, and I think that honestly, looking at that Royals team, really young. Don't know if this is their year, but same thing happened with the D-backs last year. Very young, didn't know if it was their year, ended up going far. I think when it comes to the Guardians, they've reigned over this mid division for so long that it's kind of like they've just been waiting for a team to be better than them, and they haven't gotten that yet until the Royals. I don't know if the Royals do it this year. I don't know if they do it next year, 2 years from now. But I think that this year the Guardians will hold on, and it's going to be a tight, just like Owen was talking about. It's going to be a tight all the way through because all these teams aren't that great. They're going to lose big games. They're going to lose to most teams out of their division. But at the end of the day, Guardians are going to take it over just because they've done it for so long. They have J Ram, who honestly should leave, shouldn't pull a Trout. He should get out of there. But besides that, I think the Royals are going to keep it close, and if they make it into the playoffs, they're going to be a dangerous team to play.
Yeah, no doubt. And the Royals are beating up on the Tigers this series. I mean, the Tigers, I liked them a lot. I looked to them and I thought they would be the D-backs this year, just kind of
And
that
they're
team that
still
goes on
around
a run.
500 to make
Yeah,
the
seven and a
playoffs.
half back. It's tough because you look at the American League wild card and the Tigers are only a game back. So they're right there. I hear you all on that, definitely. Let's look to the American League East and then we'll transition into the Yankees, who are also in the American League East. But I look at this division and I really love this division because I think it's the most competitive division in baseball. It was last year. You even saw for a moment this year there was teams all above 500. I think that was the case last year too for a little bit. But Yankees 2 games ahead of the Orioles, but you got to look to the Orioles because Gunnar Henderson leads the major leagues in home runs. He has 16. He's gone deep in 4 straight games. So I like this Orioles team. And Max, I'll throw this over to you. Do you see the Yankees being sustainable? Because I do think the Orioles are the better team. I do. I like the Yankees. I like what they bring to the table. They're star-studded. Oh, and I know it kills you to hear that, but I love the Orioles. Max, how do you feel about them?
Once again, I think the Orioles are a young team, but they're a young team that know what they're doing, which is very, very rare in the MLB. They brought up Jackson Holliday, saw he wasn't doing great, sent him right back down. They're here to win, and they've proven that last year, and they're just trying to piggyback off that. I think that honestly, they will win the division this year. Wow, as crazy as that sounds. And then that might light a little fire under the Yankees, and that might. See, that might improve their play in the playoffs, but honestly, this young team, they're hungry. They want to win. They had a little taste of it last year, and they want more. And I think it's unbelievable what they've been able to do with that prospects and all the prospects they picked up throughout the years.
How do you feel, Owen? Are you nervous?
Definitely nervous because this kind of feels like 2018 again when the Yankees won 103 games and then had to play a one game wild card game against the A's because the Red Sox that year, I think they won 106 or 108 games. And it feels pretty similar to that. The Orioles won 101 games last year. And now the Yankees come in with expectations, you know, how many stars that they have on the roster. And they come into this season and they're on fire right now. They've been on fire all year. And they're getting Gerrit Cole back pretty soon. So that's something to look forward to. But like you said before, is it sustainable? I don't think the starting pitching run that they're on right now, it's I think their starting pitching ERA is under I think it's under 0.8 over the last 8 starts when they were on the 7-game win streak they lose last night. But even Stroman was incredible last night. So the starting pitching is definitely gonna be a question mark. Can they stay healthy is gonna be the biggest question mark for the Yankees because the Orioles are a young team who young teams don't really get hurt. You don't have guys leaving games with a lot of these injuries that older teams you seem to have, especially the Yankees. You know, a lot of these guys end up going down with hamstring strains or just every Giancarlo Stanton injury that's possible usually happens during the year. So the Yankees are health is the biggest thing for them, and it's always going to be the biggest thing for them. If they're able to stay remotely healthy, I think they end up winning the division. But the Orioles are going to be there all year. They went 3-1 or in the 4-game set earlier in the year, and they dominated the Yankees. I think the only game that was close was the game the Yankees won, and it was 2-1. So the Orioles are going to be hanging in there. I think it's going to come down all the way to the end, and that head-to-head matchup is going to be huge in the end to determine the tiebreaker.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about Gunnar Henderson gone deep in 4 straight games. You got to look to Rafael Devers. Last night set a Red Sox record, 6 straight games with a home run. That's certainly cool for a Red Sox team that, again, they're hanging around 500. That's probably where they'll be all year. You know, you like the Red Sox to be that dark horse team. For me, the dark horse team, and this might sound crazy in the American League East, it's the team that's last right now. You look the Toronto Blue Jays. 2 great back-to-back outings from 2 of their best pitchers. Alek Manoah, 7 innings pitched, 1 hit yesterday, 7 Ks, became the second fastest player in franchise history to 400 career Ks. And then just yesterday, Jose Berríos, 6 innings pitched, 8 hits, 6 Ks, his 8th quality start. That's tied for the MLB lead. So you got to look to things like that. But let's transition into the Yankees and the Mets in this final couple of minutes. Oh, and I'm going to start with you. You're the Yankees fan, 33-16. Yesterday was tough, that 4 spot in the 9th inning. The Yankees had a win probability of 99% when they got that first ground ball out. But, you know, things happen. But you like the return of Cole on the horizon. You like Aaron Judge really coming into his own. May 15th, he had that 10 total base game. He had 3 doubles and a home run. That's crazy. So how do you feel, Owen, right now? In your last 10 games, 8-2 as a Yankee fan.
I'm very confident with this team right now. If you look at last night, as a fan, like you can't be that frustrated. That was the first earned run that Clay Holmes has given up in the entire season. I think it was 21 straight innings without a run given up and perfect on saves. Like a closer's gonna get have blown saves every now and then. And you look at how were the saves blown. It was a lot of soft contact, and then after the base is loaded, closers usually don't do well with the runners on base and then it all kind of just fell apart. But when you look at how this team's doing, if you told me that at this in spring training when I saw that Gerrit Cole might be out for the next 2 years with Tommy John, that 2 months later they would be leading the AL East with the second best record in baseball, and Gerrit Cole would be coming back in about a month, I'd be ecstatic. The fact that they're even hanging around with the Orioles right now is huge for the rest of the season. And it's been super exciting. I mean, Juan Soto is amazing. And the lineup just one through eight, really. Jose Trevino is really good right now, but it doesn't feel as if it's like a streak or a fluke. Like these guys are all hitting to their averages of how they have their whole career. Whereas in 2022, when the Yankees got off to this huge hot start, everyone was playing above average. All the pitchers were above average, and it was above their career averages. So it felt more like luck than them being good. But this year feels like the team that's out there right now, they can get better, but it doesn't feel like they're lucky to be this good or things are just going their way. It feels like they're actually earning it and they are this good of a team.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And the Yankees will play Seattle again tonight. They released their lineup: Volpe, Soto, Judge, Verdugo, Rizzo, Wells, Torres, Cabrera, Grisham. And Owen, I just want to ask you quick too, because you got your center fielder in Jason Dominguez coming back in a little while, and that's probably going to push Grisham out given how Verdugo's done. But are you just going to just straight up DFA Grisham? Like, what's going to happen there?
I think Jason Dominguez, the plan, one of the, I don't remember who wrote about it, but after his rehab assignment's done, he's going to be in AAA and he's not going to come up right away. I know he had that amazing start end of the year, but who is he replacing? And him being 21 years old, 20 years old, you want him getting every day at bats, and he's just not going to get that right now because you want Judge and Soto are going to be in there every day. Verdugo wants to be in there every day, and then Stanton's your DH. So the cycling them around gets a lot harder because Stanton can't play the field. So you would rather have Jason get those at bats in AAA and wait and see if someone gets hurt. Because eventually, no one ever stays healthy for an entire season, usually with this Yankees team. So an outfielder might go down, and then that's Jason Dominguez's chance to Wally Pip someone. But as of right now, I think you just let him sit in AAA and see how he does and let him keep rehabbing because it's Tommy John surgery. He's a young player and you don't want to rush him back. And with how good he is. But I know what you're saying. Like Trent Grisham, you can't just get rid of him because he was a part of that trade and how good of an outfielder he is. So it's kind of hard. They have too many players right now. So interesting to see what they do with the deadline if they try to move a Verdugo per se. But I don't know how you could do that. But I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if they try to make room for Dominguez or just hold out for an injury.
Got Spencer Jones coming up too.
Yeah. They should
You
teach him
know.
first base. Like with Rizzo's contract going up, someone's got to move to first base, him or Judge.
Judge 14 for 33, six doubles, four home runs last 10 games. Aaron Judge's May Fangraphs WAR 1.8. The Mets May Fangraphs WAR 0.9. So it's double. Aaron Judge is doubling the New York Mets right now. And we'll transition into them because it's not been pretty. Mets are 21 and 26. They're certainly struggling playing the Guardians. But it was nice to see Lindor in his first game back in Cleveland since 2021. They gave him a nice reception. But their only offense yesterday in that 3-1 loss was a Tomas Nito solo home run. The Mets have been struggling. Reed Garrett's been great out of the bullpen. But Max, I'll throw this over to you. The Mets are not pretty right now. And where do you see this team going that had such high expectations just a year ago?
I see them going all the way down. I don't see them making a push back up. I think they're just down in the dumps, and it's really hard for a team to be down in the dumps in a division that has the Braves, the Phillies. Like it's very difficult to be able to take yourself out of it. Edwin Diaz isn't the guy he used to be. That's very difficult. When you had him, end of the game, you're like, he's gonna close it. Also, beginning of the series. The first series of the year, swept by the Brewers. The Mets are a much better team than the Brewers. Like much better players. Coach knows what he's doing. I love Pat Murph, good friend of mine, but he's brand new. His first year having a full team, and I think that the Mets just truly need to start looking towards the future, seeing who they can trade, seeing who they can get, because I don't think it's their year, and I think they have had those chances, but I think it's done. I think it's a time for a rebuild.
Well, that's certainly a case to be made. I like the Edwin Diaz thing, but I do feel there's still enough to be given in Edwin Diaz's tank. I still think he's an elite closer. I still think he's the best closer in baseball, but he's just going through a rough patch right now, no doubt about that. Brett Beatty's certainly struggling. So, Owen, this kind of opens up the question here. And Max talked about it, how the Mets might blow everything up. The first person I look to is Jeff McNeil, because you have Ronnie Mauricio. He tore his ACL. He's probably going to play third base next year, given the fact that Brett Beatty and Mark Vientos are both kind of both mid. So I like Mauricio at third, but McNeil, you have Luis Anelacuna coming up the pike. So is McNeil the odd man out in this situation?
I think he's got to be. His stats ever since that, he's, well, these last 2 years, he's nowhere hit near the average. He should be a 300 hitter. He's been around 250, even less these last 2 seasons. Some team will take a flyer on him and hope that they can get the Jeff McNeil of old. But if you're trying to go younger, get a younger team, I think he's one of the guys you got to look to let go, especially with how crowded that Mets infield is with prospects. Like, these guys need everyday time, and they're not going to get that if it's being taken up by a guy that you feel like you have to play because he's under contract, similar to Josh Donaldson's situation. Obviously not as bad as Josh Donaldson, but
We would hope, right? We would hope it's not as bad as Josh Donaldson, but it's pretty bad. The Nationals are a game above, half a game above the Mets right now. Now that's not good, and they almost got swept by the worst team in baseball in the Marlins. So there's certainly a lot of things you're questioning right now. The Mets will probably face Carlos Carrasco today, former Met, but there's a chance he might be scratched
he's
for
got put on the
Xavion
IL.
Curry. Oh, he got scratched today.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's tough, but that was a last minute situation. And the Guardians have to do what they got to do. They're 7-3 in their past 10. The Mets 3-7, outscored by 18 runs, 4.79 ERA, 228 team batting average. It's not pretty for the Mets. Guys, before we wrap this up, I just want to get really quickly. It's too early, I understand, but World Series predictions, both sides, AL and NL. Oh, and I'll start with
Yankees, Dodgers. Yankees are winning.
you.
Four.
Ooh, okay, Max. I like it.
Yankees, Dodgers as well. Dodgers are winning though.
Okay, I'll you know what, for the fun of it, Yankees Dodgers, let's do it. This was a great episode, guys. Max Spitzer, Owen Kelty, I'm Dan Bartels. Brian, thank you as well for producing. And listen and catch Nosebleeds wherever you get your podcast, the exclusive podcast of WFUV Sports, MLB. Baseball full swing. We'll be back next week.